Second hour, next man up, 102.5. The Game, Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. I am live at Titans training camp, Vanderbilt Health Football Center. First day in pads for the Titans as they gear up for the new season. Parker back at our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Going to get into more Titan stuff here as they gear up, getting ready for joint practices, preseason next week. I want to get into the MLB trade deadline, Tarek Skubal being traded on Saturday. But first, let's go to our phone lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Dustin in Hopkinsville has called in. Dustin, thanks for calling. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. I chimed in about when y'all was talking about trade. Did he call or text?
He called. We got proof of life from Trey.
Heck yeah, good to hear he's alive. I'm ready for those Cam Ward hater hot takes. Has he switched again, or
yeah, it goes back and forth, Dustin. Like he was harping on us for thinking Will Levis was going to get traded, but we didn't hear any thoughts on Cam Ward. He seemed to have been coming around on Cam Ward at the end of last season. We'll have to see.
Well, look, I'm super biased. We all know that. I love Will Levis. I think he's got what it takes. He's just got to not make the boneheaded mistakes, but you have to call a spade a spade. Cam Ward is our number one quarterback, and the best thing for Will Levis is to get off this team and someone else have him come in and try to be their number one quarterback. And if he fails, he fails. He succeeds, but it ain't here.
Right, now, and that's the point I've been trying to make, is I think it makes more sense for both parties for him not to be here anymore, but you've also got to find a deal that makes sense. So
I have a theory, and putting things together pretty quickly. When Will Levis did that, it is the perfect timing. We got the preseason coming up. Pads are fixing to go on at practice. And videos are going to get out of his big bomb throw here and there, because they're going to let him have some time. And I'm sure that Sala, Stable, Titans organization said, look, you ain't our guy here, but we want to see you succeed. We're going to give you the best tools to succeed. And we're going to set this thing up where you talk. We're going to try to get the most out of you. We're going to try to get you a good situation, get multiple teams trying to come after you, whether it's two or five. And I think both the Titans and Levis, they are playing a game right now. And that was not just Levis. That was the Titans talking too, through Levis.
Right. And I do think that preseason, you're not going to see a ton of Cam Ward. Series or two in each game. Mitch Trubisky, I don't think you even really need to see much of him in the preseason. Like, again, maybe a quarter. Everything else should be going to Will Levis. Hendon Hooker's barely getting any reps in team periods during practices. Yeah. Will Levis should be playing six quarters of football during the preseason.
Yeah. Hey, Levis, if you're listening, buddy, I know Dable and all of us told you, if you think you're going to make a boneheaded play, tuck and run, take the sack, or throw it away, buddy. Lived and died. Yeah. What he's telling Ward, you're going to live off but third down. Get to third down, man, or go to fourth down. Just don't turn the ball over. Don't make boneheaded mistakes, dude. Live to fight another day, and eventually that thing's going to click because you got all the tools. You are actually more talented with your feet and hands probably than Cam Ward, but he's got it all upstairs for you don't. All right, y'all have a good one.
Thanks for the call, Dustin. I can personally guarantee Will Levis is not listening, but it was a good message there from Dustin in Hopkinsville.
He's a practice right. Get ready for.
I'm watching him right now, so yes, he is not listening. But I do want to get to Saturday's news. I've been teasing this because as a Tigers fan, I feel like I have a unique perspective on Tarek Skubal. I know Joe Rexroad, a Tigers fan as well, also gave his thoughts. So the return isn't necessarily all that different from what I expected. I think I expected a hair more. Like, I would have expected, River Ryan that the Tigers got back is 28 years old and coming off Tommy John. I would have expected a better arm than that. Zaire Hope is about the type of prospect I think you would expect, a top 25 prospect in baseball, and then you get the lottery ticket. I think his name's Brady Smith, who is – as a matter of fact, is 0-10 as a minor league baseball pitcher, but that's beside the point. That was the return for Tarek Skubal on Saturday night. And, of course, he goes to the big, bad Los Angeles Dodgers, back-to-back World Series champions. And, Parker, I'm sure you have thoughts on this, too, of immediately everybody goes to, well, that guarantees the lockout, and this is what's wrong with baseball, and the Dodgers are unfair, and all this kind of stuff. I saw that all over Twitter the last couple days. Am I right, Parker? Like, that's kind of what everybody's reaction was.
Yes, but I do believe the lockout was going to happen with or without this Tarek Skubal trade of the Dodgers. It just amplifies it, I believe.
I don't think this trade has anything to do with it. There are a lot of reasons that baseball may not be played in 2027, and at the very least, games are going to be missed. And the Dodgers are a big reason for it. The $1.1 billion in deferred money, the Kyle Tucker contract, the Shohei Ohtani contract, going out and just buying all these players that no one else can go get. 100%. The Dodgers, I think, are the biggest reason that there is not going to be, at least on-time baseball in 2027, there's going to be a lockout. But this is not another domino in that sequence. Every team had the opportunity to make this trade. And maybe I would say something differently if the Dodgers, I guess, if they made some mega deal that absolutely no one else could have matched. They have four top 25 prospects. If they spent all four of them, then yeah, you could say the Dodgers were gaming the system and somehow they ended up with more talent than others. Whatever. This isn't that mega haul trade, King's ransom, that no one else could have matched. It's one top 25 prospect, a 28-year-old pitcher who's coming off of Tommy John surgery, and a lottery ticket 21-year-old arm in single A who's not having all that much success. The Brewers could have beaten that deal easily. The Cubs could have beaten that deal. They didn't. They didn't. They did not pony up and say, guess what? If we want to win a World Series this year, we've got to be better than the Los Angeles Dodgers. That is what every other team across baseball, all 29 other clubs, is tasked with. Be better than the Los Angeles Dodgers, or at least give yourself a chance in a seven-game series against the Dodgers. The Brewers could have done that. You give up. I'm not saying Jesus Mate, the number one prospect in baseball. You wouldn't have had to give him up to beat that deal. You add, I want to say his name is Luis Peña, is their second-best prospect. He's another top 20 guy. You've got young arms. The Brewers have the number one farm system in baseball. They are the best team in baseball by record with the Dodgers. They are the two best teams. And if those two teams end up meeting in a seven-game series in the NLCS, the team that has Tarek Skubal pitching two or three games has an advantage. If the Brewers could have pitched Jacob Mizorowski and Tarek Skubal four or five out of those seven games, that's how you beat a team like the Dodgers. They could have done it. They didn't do it. And I don't blame the Dodgers for this one. This is an open market. Every team was given the opportunity to go make a deal for Tarek Skubal, and the other teams hoarded their prospects and clutched their pearls and said, we're not going to do it. Guess what? When the Dodgers go win their third, there's no one to blame but you, when this was the opportunity that you had in front of you to pair up Jacob Mizorowski and Tarek Skubal as your game one. Skubal would start game one, Mizorowski game two, against the Los Angeles Dodgers in the NLCS. You could have done that. You didn't. And guess what? When you get beaten five games by the Dodgers because they're running out Glasnow, Snell, Yamamoto, and Skubal, sorry. You should have made the move. And so, yes, the Dodgers are the main reason that we're going to have a lockout in baseball coming up in 2027, because they have taken advantage of the system because of their TV deal where they get to keep an extra $66 million every single year. They do have inherent advantages that need to be closed, and there needs to be a salary cap in baseball. The Dodgers are the biggest reason for that. But this is not something to get mad at the Dodgers about. This is a move that you get mad at the other teams out there for not doing it themselves and stopping the Dodgers from doing it. There's my rant. I do not blame the Dodgers for doing this. And guess what? They deserve to go win a third straight title now. Because other teams could have made this move and they decided to let the Dodgers do it again. And they're going to lose in October because of it.
I agree with every word that you just said. A lot of people like to go after the Dodgers because they are an easy target. They're en route to winning their third straight World Series, and it's the same reason that a lot of people hated those Alabama teams when Nick Saban had the dynasty. The team that wins all the time, eventually it starts to get old and people don't like to see the same teams winning, so the Dodgers are an easy target. But at the same time, every team in baseball would have wanted Tarek Skubal to pitch for them. But the Dodgers were willing to spend to get him, so you can't blame the Dodgers for that. But they are one of the main reasons that we're going to get this lockout in 2027, which I do believe is going to happen because it seems like everybody wants a salary cap outside of the players. And honestly, why would the players want a salary cap? Why would they want to cap how much they get paid or you know, how much a team is willing to spend on them? It's kind of the same thing with this NIL conversation that we're having in college athletics, not just football. Why would a player want to cap how much they can make? From a player's perspective, you wouldn't want to do that. So I don't blame the Dodgers for wanting to go get Tarek Skubal. I had a friend tell me on Saturday night that, you know, he was hearing, oh, the Cubs, they have a good chance of getting Tarek Skubal. I would have liked to believe that as a Cubs fan, but at the same time, I didn't have a feeling that that was going to happen, and I was right. I was telling you, it was the most anticlimactic news I saw over the weekend that the Dodgers are getting Tarek Skubal because, of course, why not? But, yeah, they're going to win a third straight World Series, and you can't blame them for wanting to make the move. You just can't.
Right, and there are – you mentioned Nick Saban. There are inherent inequalities in college football. There is no level playing field, and the same could be said for baseball. There's no salary cap, so the big market teams can go spend, while the small market teams, not saying the Tigers are necessarily small market, they're not the A's or the Pirates, but they're not willing to give $600 million to Tarek Skubal over 10 years. The Dodgers would be, and so Scott Boras said he's going to take him to free agency. There's no extension talks that are going to happen. So the Tigers had to trade him. But you can't blame the Dodgers because no one else wanted to pony up their prospects to go make this move. I saw this 2 years ago when the Tigers were outside the playoff picture looking in. Tarek Skubal had 2 years of control left, and the conversation was, do you trade him because you could get an insane haul for Tarek Skubal with 2 years of control left? And the Orioles were the team everyone was talking about. And I remember seeing Orioles fans, we don't want to trade Kobe Mayo. We don't want to trade Samuel Basayo. And it's like, well, your team's good enough right now that if you add a front-end arm, you can go win the World Series. And the team followed what their fans were thinking and didn't want to give up the prospect haul. Look where the Orioles are now. A lot of those prospects haven't panned out. The Brewers could have easily done that this year. The Cubs could have done it as well and gone out and made that move. They didn't do it. So the Dodgers, yes, they're to blame for a lot of the reason we're talking about salary cap and all this stuff, because they have taken advantage of the system with $1.1 billion in deferred money and going out and spending all this money in free agency. 100%. They are the reason for it. But this is not something to get mad at the Dodgers about. This is something to get mad at the rest of the MLB for letting the Dodgers do it and basically giving them the path wide open to a third straight World Series. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll get to your thoughts on this coming up next. Titans getting ready for their first padded practice of training camp. We'll keep you updated on everything going on out here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. We are live at Titans training camp. Our Titans training camp coverage is presented by Tennessee Brewworks, Parman Energy, the Music City Kickoff Game, Twin Peaks Restaurants, Parman Tractor and Equipment, and Tri-State Water, Power, and Air. Practice about to get underway right here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. We'll give you updates. A good crowd on hand today. Second practice open to the fans. Tomorrow's open to the fans as well. It is the first padded practice of camp, so excited to see what the team looks like as we start up these padded practices this week to gear up for the preseason. We were talking about baseball. Big news over the weekend. The Tigers trading Tarek Skubal to the Los Angeles Dodgers for a package of three prospects. The headliners, I hear hope, the 25th best prospect in baseball. 2636 Viking Matt on the text line says the Dodgers' gross revenue for 2025 was $1 billion. God forbid they actually use it on their players. And it's true. It's like the Dodgers are taking advantage of the system 100%. And does that mean you have to change the system to get a more even playing field? Probably. And that's a conversation for after this season ends. But you can't blame the Dodgers for this move. That I think Tarek Skubal's owed like $9 million this year. It's not a lot of money for anybody out there. I know it is a lot of money, but for these teams, taking on $9 million for the rest of the season, not a big deal. It was about the prospect packages, and these teams, these smaller market teams have been trained that they have to build their team through the prospects. And yes, that is going to be the way you build your roster. But when you're a team like the Brewers, and you've got your team in the position where they are one of the best teams in baseball, and you can add the missing piece that might get you over to the top to win your first World Series, and in that process, stop your main opponent from getting that same player, and you don't do it, or you at least don't put a more competitive offer out there, I don't understand it. I don't blame the Dodgers for making this move. I blame every other team for not making it.
No, I do too, just because, I mean, there's not a salary cap right now, so you can go and spend. So I just don't get it, because these teams are the ones saying that we need a salary cap. I just don't understand. Why would you not try to stand in their way? If you can prevent a third straight World Series, if you had the opportunity to do so as a competitor, why would you not want to go make this move? Why would you not do everything you can to bring him into your bullpen, bring Tarik Skubal into your bullpen, to prevent the Dodgers from going and doing three straight?
Yeah, I mean, it's just one of those things where you can complain all you want about the Dodgers taking advantage of the system, but when the system allows you to hurt their chances and help yours and you don't do it, you got no one to blame but yourself. I have seen that there's, like, conspiracy theories out there that the owners are colluding and trying to make the Dodgers win a third straight because it's going to get the fans on their side during the lockout. I don't know. Like, I don't think that's, like, a completely maybe the owner collusion, I don't necessarily believe. But
that
I do
seems
think
a little far-fetched.
The owners do want the fans on their side, because typically in these the CBA disputes, the fans are usually on the player's side. These are the players that we watch. They deserve to earn their worth. We're on the player's side. This is the first one that I can remember where I think the fans are already on the owner's side. I don't know if you needed this move to make that happen. I don't think as much as I don't really love Chris Illich as the Tigers owner, or, you know, Scott Harris has his moments as the president of baseball operations, I don't think that they were colluding with the Dodgers to only make this move because they want the CBA to get done and they want a salary cap. I'm not going to believe that, but it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense that other teams weren't willing to pony up. Again, what was not some massive prospect haul, the Dodgers could have done that if they wanted to. Like, if the bidding got high enough, the Dodgers, they did have more prospect capital to go out and make this move than other teams, but they didn't even have to use it. They gave up their third-best outfield prospect, a 28-year-old right-hander coming off of Tommy John, and a 21-year-old in single-A. And you're telling me other teams with a chance to go win a World Series couldn't do better than that? Give me a break. I mean, it's just – and part of this is I wanted the Tigers to get a bigger return, and it frustrates me that – I'm like, really? No other teams were willing to give up that to stop the Dodgers from getting the best pitcher in baseball? Really? And so it frustrates me, but, again, there is some inherent bias of me, Tigers, to get a return, but it's just – You complain all you want about the Dodgers being unfair and getting all the talent, but when you have a chance to stop them from getting somebody and you don't do it, it's frustrating. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. Tim in Nashville says small market teams might have an excuse. What's the Cubs' excuse? Parker, thoughts?
I don't have an excuse for them. I don't. I wish they would have. That's why this added to my frustration, because of course he's just going to go to the Dodgers. It's just like Thanos adding another Infinity Stone to his gauntlet. I don't know, man. I don't have an excuse for him. It's just really frustrating because people were trying to get my hopes up about the Cubs going and getting a guy like that, and they didn't do it. Just a bunch of rat poison.
Yeah, it's disappointing to see this because. To be fair, baseball is one of those sports where just having the best team doesn't guarantee you a championship. Last year, the Dodgers were one out away from losing to the Blue Jays in the World Series. They were one out away from losing in the – no, actually, they rolled through the NLCS, if I'm remembering correctly. But they were one out away from losing in the World Series to the Blue Jays. It can happen. Somebody can beat them. But this is one of those things – it moves the needle. We talk about it does or it doesn't move the needle. This Tarik Skubal – is a needle mover for everybody out there. And again, you had a chance to not only stop them from getting him, but you get to add him to your team, and you didn't even give a competitive offer with what was kind of a meh trade. from the Dodgers. Anyway, Adam in Portland texts in, how long do you guys think the lockout's going to be? I don't know if they can afford a full season. Like, I don't know if they can miss the full season, but I can't imagine two sides being further apart on these issues. And the salary cap obviously being the big issue. Bryce Harper berating Rob Manfred, walking into their clubhouse last year saying, if you're in here to talk about a salary cap, then you can get the bleep out. Like, these sides are so far apart on this that you're going to miss baseball games. I can almost guarantee opening day is going to be delayed. You would hope that the desperation, once owners start missing out on money, once players start missing out on money, that they come to a compromise. I'm going to say, if I had to guess, I doubt we see baseball next year until at least June. That would be my guess, is that it'd be like a early to mid-June opening day next year. I think it's going to be about 2 months that we miss out on some baseball.
Let me know if you think I'm wrong. I do believe that a majority of the fans are on the side of the salary cap. But I view it as the MLBPA. I think they have the strongest players association in all of professional sport. They have a really good backbone led by guys like Bryce Harper. You look at the NFLPA and the NBA Players Association, and they have the backbone of a chocolate eclair. But the MLBPA is really, really strong, so I don't see them backing down from this. I just think it's inevitable that this lockout is coming in 2027. I don't know if it's the whole season or just we'll delay things, but I hate that for baseball as a whole, because the MLB has a lot of momentum right now, and baseball is in a really good spot. And I feel like a lot of the casual baseball fans, like myself, are now watching more and more often and keeping up with things. And if you put that on pause and there's no baseball to start 2027, with the short attention spans nowadays, you're going to lose a lot of that viewership, and you're going to lose a lot of that fan interest, which will set baseball back to where it was a few years ago.
100%. I mean, right now baseball's in a great spot with the rule changes. You got shorter games. I think people are loving the challenge system this year. And you've got stars. Shohei, Aaron Judge, Paul Skeens, Jacob Mizorowski. You've got stars that people know about and are fun to watch. And I agree, if you miss a full season of baseball, you just never know what fans are going to come back. The diehards will come back, but I think you are getting the casual baseball fan back into baseball again. Missing a whole year of a season, I think, would really hurt baseball for the long term. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'd love to hear from you. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Quick update here for the Braves fans. Jeff Passan just tweeting out right now. The Atlanta Braves are acquiring left-handed reliever Brent Suter from the Los Angeles Angels for infielder Nacho Alvarez Jr. So not a huge trade there, but the Braves have made their presence known on deadline day. 615-737-1025. We got lots to get into for the second half of the show here. Practice getting underway here at Titans training camp. We'll talk plenty of Titans. Also, the big news over the weekend, the court decision in Denver, the federal court deciding that all 22 athletes in college sports are going to get an extra year of eligibility. We'll talk about that throughout the show as well. Back into the Titans after this. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 1025 The Game. Next man up, 1025 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Parker, your thoughts on this, the new college football anthem for ESPN this year. High Noon, Shaboozy.
Yeah, it's also featuring Gunna, which I haven't heard from Gunna in a while. It's not bad. I listened to the whole thing over the weekend. Not bad. It's not my favorite, but I don't mind it.
They're using Shaboozy a lot because he's in the Monday Night Football intro too, right?
Or Thursday Night Football.
He's on the prime one. Yeah. So he's all over the place. I don't mind it. I like it. Meet at High Noon. I hope that the best games aren't going to be at High Noon. That's more of a Fox thing, but I think it's a solid one. Maybe
no,
not one of
solid.
The. I liked the fan-made ones a couple years ago where they did Revival by Zach Bryan. I thought that would have been great. I don't know if they've actually used that for anything.
No,
I thought that was always a good one.
That was definitely one of the fan-made ones. It was good. I enjoyed that one. I've enjoyed the last couple they did. I actually enjoyed – this is a throwback for me, Imagine Dragons. I like the Imagine Dragons ones that they did back in the day.
Yeah. I mean – Imagine Dragons, they get a lot of hate, similar to like Joe's hate of Creed and Nickelback. And I'm not saying I'm an Imagine Dragons fan, but when I was younger, there were a couple of songs that were decent.
Yeah.
Demons, I thought, was a decent
playlist,
song.
Right? Radioactive was on there. There was one more that I really liked.
Yeah.
What was like the name of the song that was the college football anthem? It had something to do with chains, right?
I have no idea.
I'm blanking on it.
They had Thunder. That's a song. I'm going through my Imagine Dragons Rolodex here, and I don't have much. I think I just named the three songs that I know: Radioactive, Thunder, and Demons. But I think they got a lot of hate. Okay. Yeah.
And that's
a good
it for
one.
Me too.
That's a good
I
one.
I can name four songs.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. 3555 texting in. We'll wrap up our baseball conversation with this. He says, other MLB teams cannot afford to trade away prospects as easily as the Dodgers can. When your team payroll is 1.74 Kyle Tuckers, you don't have the same tolerance for risk. Don't blame the Dodgers, but also don't blame the other teams. They just can't operate the same way the Dodgers can, even from trading away prospects. I get that for a lot of teams, but for the Brewers, I'm pointing the finger at the Brewers here, and I hate it because I like the Brewers. The Sounds are in town there. They're AAA affiliate. But you are in the conversation with the Dodgers right now, talent-wise, record-wise. You're right there. And that was something that can sway the balance between those two teams for a possible NLCS matchup one way or the other. It's not like the Tigers got the entire Dodgers farm system. They gave up their fourth best prospect to do it. The Brewers could have beaten that deal. That's the only point I'm making, and I don't think it would have set back their franchise decades. Anyway, let's get back to the Titans here. Practice is underway. I do want to mention Cody Barton is going to join us coming up either at the end of our show or the start of the Chase and Big Joe show. It depends on when practice ends. But Cody Barton is going to join us at some point live from Titans training camp. Also, Wandale Robinson, one-on-one with Derek Mason at 420 on DVD. So excited for that as well. A little wide receiver on wide receiver action there with Derek Mason and Wandale Robinson. They will chat on DVD coming up at 420. So Cody Barton coming up after practice. I will talk with him most likely at the beginning of the Chase and Big Joe show. And then Wandale Robinson will be speaking with Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Connor Newt. That's coming up at 420 on DVD. Titans first padded practice about to get underway. It's underway right now. They're working on some special team stuff right now. Excited to see what this offensive line looks like. Maybe excited isn't the right word. Nervous to see what the offensive line looks like, Parker, because when you don't have the pads on, I think things get evened up a little bit. And even with that, we saw that the defensive line was clearly winning those battles. Now that it's full go, everybody's in pads. I do think that this could be a bloodbath today with the defensive line being so talented, so deep, and the offensive line having as many question marks as it does.
I do expect it to be a bloodbath, and maybe not just today, but the first couple of days of practice. And really, once we get to the joint stuff, you know, the joint practice with the 49ers, Seahawks, and Bears, that's more of a true test of where this offensive line is at. The conversations we have had over the last few weeks have not been encouraging. I do not see another way in which it does not look like a disaster, at least in the training camp portion leading up to the preseason, and then once we get to the regular season.
Yeah, and we've banged the table on this of you could have added more, and you still can add more. There's still talented players out there on the offensive line. They're giving it a shot here with what they've got, with Schlotman at center, Volsener Slater at right guard, and just absolutely nothing beyond your two tackles in Dan Moore and J.C. Latham. They're going with it. Today might be a wake-up call. And I know it's only day one. It might not be able to tell you everything, but Jermaine Johnson was asked on Thursday? He was asked about, like, hey, what is the offense in for once the pads come on? And he said, you're going to find out. Like, we're going to get after him. I think that's going to be the case today. We'll have to see as the team period starts. But, like, man, I just don't see this offensive line being even average this year. And that's – It's a scary thought, I know that it's hard to address every single hole in one off season, even with the resources, right? Like, Dave Ziegler, I go back to the quote that he had after free agency and the draft, and he talked about how in free agency, there's so much involved. There's money involved. There are other teams. These guys have families. They're deciding where they want to go, and sometimes you strike out. And if I had to guess, I think that's what happened with the Titans at center, is they went after a bunch of guys, and they struck out a little bit on the veteran options that were out there. There weren't many, and if you don't get the top two or three guys at the top of the market, you were stuck with a guy like Schlotman. So I think that's what happened. But I don't think that excuses what they've done at tackle. That's the one I keep coming back to. Center and right guard, you might be able to make it look serviceable if J.C. Latham takes a step forward, Peter Skoronski being as good as he has been. Like, you might be able to make center and right guard look serviceable. But one injury for Moore or Latham just puts you into a spiral. And that's what worries me the most, is one injury and you're looking at Brandon Crenshaw-Dixon or Austin Deculus starting. And maybe at that point you would go out and get a Jack Conklin or a Taylor Decker still out there from the Lions. Maybe you would be forced to go do that. But those guys are out there now. Who knows, 2-3 weeks down the road, if they get clutched up by some other team and you're left with nothing, no options if there's an injury. That's what scares me the most, and I think this might be a wake-up call type of practice for the offensive line with the pads fully on today.
Here's the scariest part about all of this, is the line wasn't good last year, but it got even worse, at least as it stands on paper right now. And just watching, I was watching Cordell Volson on Saturday, and I know the pads weren't on, but I saw him get turned around. And it wasn't that was not encouraging to see. But then, to make matters worse, Austin Deculus comes in, and I'm legitimately just watching this go down, and I'm like, there's no way, this guy doesn't deserve to be on a 53 anywhere. Like, it was not pretty. So I imagine that is going to get amplified today when the pads are on, and as we progress throughout training camp. It's just not been encouraging.
And I do think J.C. Latham is the key cog in that offensive line, because him taking a step forward, I think, makes that whole unit a lot better. The quote that he had on Saturday, Parker, that stunned me was that he said he couldn't do any lower body work in the weight room or anything like that last year with that hip injury. And that starts to explain a lot more why he struggled, especially early on in his second season, dealing with the injury and not being able to do any work on his lower half. That's got to be tough for an offensive lineman.
Yeah, because a lot of what you do, it comes from your lower half, right? Being explosive, being agile, moving, you know, side to side. Oftentimes you're in a phone booth with a lot of these defensive, you know, these edge rushers. So not being able to do anything with the lower half, even your hip mobility, is such a big deal. Not great. And J.C. Latham, just from seeing him up close at the podium on Saturday, doesn't look as slim as he was last year, which I don't know if that's a good or a bad thing. I don't know if he was, you know, trying to put on more weight this year or what, but he looked a lot bigger. I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's reasons for optimism with J.C. Latham, given everything that he's gone through in his first 2 years, starting at left tackle, which was not his natural position coming out of Alabama, then being flipped back over to right tackle, and the injury in training camp and the injuries early last season. Like, it does make sense that he hasn't been the top seven pick that you drafted him to be. But as we've said pretty much all offseason, at some point, it's put up or shut up time. No matter what you've gone through, this team needs to know if they've got their right tackle of the future, and this is the year for him to prove it. So, first day in pads, he was out there in full on Saturday for the final day without pads. I'm interested to see what J.C. Latham looks like, especially against a much improved defensive front this year. You're not facing, I mean, Arden Key was fine, and I guess you had, like, Draymond Jones was in there last year. Fine pass rushers, but I think it's upgraded now. You're going to see Jermaine Johnson. You're going to see a first-round pick in Keldrick Falk. You might see John Franklin Myers on the edge. He's going to be tested. J.C. Latham, outside of Cam Ward, the most important person for this Titans team taking a step forward this season.
And it may be unfair to him. I'd be willing to say that it is. He played left tackle as a rookie. Last year, year two, cut short due to injuries, didn't get as many repetitions as you would want at your natural position of right tackle. Year three, the Titans have to have an answer. Are you going to be the franchise right tackle moving forward? He was highly regarded at Alabama, but there's just no way of knowing. And I know the pads haven't been on, but there's still very valuable reps that you can get, and J.C. Latham wasn't out there for that. At the very least, he did get a practice, an acclimation period before throwing on the pads, but there's still a lot to garner. So if anything, I hope he was getting the mental reps that he needed. I hope that he's been in the film room getting with, you know, Carmen Brasillo, talking about how he could be better in year three. I hope he was able to get in the weight room some. So we'll just have to see.
615-737-1025 is the phone number. We'll take your thoughts. Titans starting their first padded practice out here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. We'll give you updates as we can. Again, stick around throughout the day. Couple of big interviews here on 102.5 The Game. We'll have Cody Barton probably early in the Chase and Big Joe show after practice wraps up. I'll talk to him live here from Titans training camp. And at 4:20 on DVD, Wandell Robinson going to speak with Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Connor Newt. Excited to hear the back and forth between Derek Mason, one of, if not the best, wide receiver in franchise history, talking with Wandell Robinson, the new addition for the Titans. 615-737-1025. We'll wrap up hour number two after this. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly with you. Titans' first padded practice of training camp is underway. Give you updates as they come in. Titans gearing up. 1 week from tomorrow, we'll be in Santa Clara for a joint practice with the 49ers. And a week from Thursday, preseason game number one. So, again, this schedule, you wait all season, Parker, for training camp to start. And you feel like there's going to be this big ramp-up period before you get to playing actual games. No, preseason, the Hall of Fame game is on Thursday. Titans play their first preseason game a week later. It's going to be go time sooner rather than later.
Yeah, no, it has to be. And it's exciting because games are actually around the corner. There are opportunities for guys who may have been afterthoughts or, you know, not highly regarded during the draft process that now get an opportunity to prove themselves. And it's just in a very, very exciting time of year and lots of dreams, lots of goals to be chased, exciting times.
615-737-1025 is our phone number if you want to chime in. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 3555 asks, do you think it's fair for us as fans to think the Titans have no intention of being competitive this season? Second most cap space in the league, and to your point, an injury away from the worst O-line in the NFL again. The Titans are trying to be competitive this year, as evidenced by the money they did spend in the offseason. They went out and spent over $100 million in total money on two cornerbacks. They went out and signed John Franklin Myers. They moved up in the draft to get some guys they feel like can be key pieces of their present and their future in the draft. They're trying to be competitive this year. And competitive is a very subjective word. What does that mean? Does that mean just not being one of the worst teams in the league? Does that mean contending for a playoff spot? I would say probably more the former. I think this is a team that is expecting to take a step forward. But you're right. Like, there's not really much of an excuse to be made for a team that had the most cap space in the league heading into free agency, still has $60 million in cap space, and has left the offensive line in a state that you look at it and say, even healthy, it's not good, and you're one injury away from just an unmitigated disaster up front. And so I do question that part of Mike Borgonzi's plan this offseason. I think he did a really good job in a lot of other aspects, building the wide receiver room, loading up on the defensive line for Robert Saleh, who we know his defense is built around having a deep defensive line. That's all really important, and I think they did a really nice job there. The one spot that was kind of ignored was the offensive line, and we're going to have to see if this unit is going to be able to stand up. And again, with how much work has gone in to the defensive front, you're going to find out pretty quickly over these next few padded practices if this offensive line is going to be able to hold up against some of the top groups in the league. I wouldn't say the Titans have the best defensive line in the league, but if you're looking for a strength on this roster, that's it. And if you can't hold up against this defensive line, you wonder what's going to happen once they get to actual games. So, again, I don't know if you can say the Titans have no intention on being competitive, but if there's one giant wart on the plan this offseason, it's certainly the way they addressed or the lack of solution that was found on the offensive line.
And it's a big wart, right? To the texter's point, there's no professionally run organization that's willingly trying to not be competitive. And from the Titans' standpoint, they can't afford that even if they wanted to, right? Mike Borgonzi, given the history of this Titans organization over the last 4 years, right, it's been hiring and firing, hiring and firing. So Mike Borgonzi can't afford to throw in the towel, and Robert Saleh definitely can't afford to throw in the towel. He's on his second stint as a head coach in the NFL, and there are only 32 spots for head coaches, and it's very rarefied air to get a second crack to be a head coach. Robert Saleh cannot afford to mess this up, or he'll never get another opportunity to be a head coach ever again. It's just, to your point, Jake, I don't understand, with all that cap space that you had, why you didn't feel the need to address the offensive line more. Cordell Volson coming over from Cincinnati. Cincinnati hasn't been known to have good offensive lines during Joe Burrow's time as the quarterback there. And Austin Slotman was not your starter in New York last year. So I just don't understand, even if there weren't a lot of options out there, there were still guys that you could have brought in and signed. And there are still more players that you can go out and sign now, Kevin Zeitler being one of them that I've talked about.
Yeah, and I think you make a really good point of no – you can't have years where you're not trying to compete in the NFL. The patience level is so low in this league where one bad year, that might be all it takes for you to lose your starting job as a quarterback on the offensive line, to lose your job as a head coach, lose your job as a general manager. All it takes is one bad season for the feelings to go sour. So I do think the Titans are doing everything they can to get this team competitive. And there are a lot of position groups that I look at and say, man, you have really solidified that spot. The plan in the offseason was strong at a lot of different spots. The offensive line is just the one where you look at it and you say, what was the plan there? Because they didn't do anything meaningful up front to try and make this a better group in front of Cam Ward. We can't really judge it until we see it on the field, right? We can't judge it until we see whether this group can work. But on paper, as we've harped on for the last couple of months, this isn't a good group. And again, what worries me the most is that you're one tweaked ankle away from having a disaster on the right side of the line if Latham goes down, or if Moore goes down, having, you know, Brandon Deculus protecting Cam Ward's blind side. Like, you just can't have it.
There was that one season, too, I'm forgetting it. Was it 23 when Rand Carthon had the famous statement of, we got everything we needed from starter to the furthest backup? There's just no way that you can address all of the needs this team has being 3-14 the last 2 years. There's just no way you can do that, and I understand that. But offensive line, you can't run, you can't throw if the offensive line cannot run block and pass protect. You just can't do it. So it doesn't matter the new shiny pieces that you brought in, drafting Carnell Tate, bringing in Wandell Robinson, Alec Aomanor having a great training camp so far. None of that matters if Cam Moore doesn't have time to get the ball out of his hands.
Right, and I think you look at the wide receiver room and you say Cam Ward is going to have a much better group of weapons to throw the football to this year with Tate and Robinson and the development of Aomanor and DK as second year players. But you're right, if you can't get the ball out, how much does that help you? And you do hope that maybe Austin Slotman is this diamond in the rough that Carmen Brasillo and Brian Daboll were watching develop behind the scenes in New York last year. And maybe Cordell Volson was a bright spot on an otherwise below average offensive line in Cincinnati when he played. But as Jeremy in Clarksville says, I hear a lot of hope talk about Latham. You can't build a franchise on hope. I think that's all you got on the offensive line, is just hoping that it's going to be okay. And hope is not a strategy when it comes to trying to protect your franchise quarterback. 615-737-1025 is the phone number. If you'd like to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Titans practice underway here at Vanderbilt Health Football Center. We'll give you updates as they come in. Again, stay tuned to the station all day today. I'll talk to Cody Barton, likely early in the Chase and Big Joe show, live here from Vanderbilt Health Football Center. And Wandale Robinson going to sit down with the DVD crew, Derek Mason, Willie Donick, Connor Newt. Excited for that. That'll be at 4:20 on DVD today. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, live from Titans training camp. Next man up, 102.5 The Game.